Our first scripture lesson comes from the prophet Micah. Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent Moses before you, Aaron and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with a calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Amen. Our second scripture comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. Hear the word of the Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Mighty and gracious God, your word lights our paths and guides our lives. As we have heard your word this day, we ask that it would move within us, that it would move within our hearts and minds and lead us and guide us as we seek to be your people, as we seek to serve you. Bless, Lord, this word this day, in your holy and wondrous name. Amen. When I was in seminary, one of the things that came to mind as an English minor was that often we don't read Scripture the way it's written. Often when you read Scripture, you read it like you read a book, line for line, piece by piece. And often Scripture is not meant to be read that way. Think of the last time you read from the book of Psalms. Did you read it like a book, line by line, rota, normal reading? Or did you read it like you read from Sing the Lord, our hymnal? The Psalms weren't meant to just be spoken. They were meant to be sung. Other parts of Scripture are not anything but lyrical poetry. designed so that it will live out, be read out in a different way than blessed are the people who have come. There's emotion, there's feeling behind these words. And often, we forget that in the Old and the New Testament, when the prophets and Jesus spoke, these words were not just spoken. They were poetic words. Poetic words designed to move beyond. They have a lyric and a flow, a beat, if you will, to them. Again, remember those words. Blessed are. Blessed are. And remember the responses. Those are not straight, flat words like month-old soda in your refrigerator. And please, if you have that, throw it out. The fact is, we need to try and enliven our reading of Scripture more than we do. When was the last time you read a song flatly? Where you read the lyrics of a song without the music going in your head? The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. You can't just say those words without the music moving behind it. And you shouldn't read the Sermon on the Mount, the 8 Beatitudes in Matthew, without seeing the lyrical nature, the poetic nature of Christ speaking. When we read this passage in Matthew, think of Jesus using nature's amphitheater, a mountain and a valley, where sound can move and carry. Jesus standing up on the mount, sitting down, gathering his disciples, and not just speaking and teaching, but doing so in a lyrical way. Blessed are. It's poetry in action. Jesus isn't just a preacher and teacher. He is a poet. Not bad for the Son of God. But there's also a strangeness in his words today. With each utterance of blessed are, there always follows something. And sometimes that something seems a tad bit out of place. Sometimes they are horrible points in life, such as persecution. Persecution, where you're talking about how blessed someone is in the midst of. Think about it. If you see these moments that Jesus speaks of, many of them are extremely difficult times in life. Times when we are poor in spirit, times when we are mourning and meek, these are not times when we readily feel blessed. Often these are those moments in our lives when we feel anything but blessed. When we are reviled and persecuted and slandered falsely on account of God, this is not a time when we really feel blessed. And yet, we are. Some of these do track with feeling blessed and being blessed. When people are pure in heart, merciful, and peacemakers, we generally look on them and say, yes, you are blessed. We are blessed in this moment. But other times, in other parts, blessings are not so clear and not so apparent. These situations, these moments of life, like when someone is persecuted for righteousness' sake or reviled or persecuted on account of Christ, those are not normally times when somebody walks down the road saying, I am so blessed. And yet, they are. The fact that we are blessed does not soften the blow or make the mourning any less hard. It doesn't alleviate their pain, but it does help you bear these moments. Knowing that no matter what, you are blessed. But it doesn't say how blessed you will be or how blessed you were. It is how blessed you are. Blessed are you in these moments. It's not a light at the end of the tunnel. It's a light through the tunnel. It is a chance to know that no matter what happens in your life, God is blessing you. Not just blessing you, but blessing others as well. Blessing others who are suffering as you are. The problem is that often, too often I would say, our problem is not the reality that we are blessed. It is the reality that we do not think we are. Let me share a time in my life with you in which I felt anything but blessed. I was a 13-year-old young teenager, and my father had just committed suicide. My brother was 11, my older sister was 16, my little sister was 9. Mom was a working mother and a minister in the classes. Dad usually ran an overwhelming part of the errands, usually with Rob and I on Saturdays. And suddenly Dad was gone. Edie could be relied on to do some of the errand running, but we were stretched far too thin. We were busy and beyond busy. And yet, in that moment, we were blessed. Our community and our church united around us in that moment. Suddenly, my aunt and grandfather started picking us up from events, going to baseball games. And yes, Grandpa was a lot more vocal in yelling at umpires at Little League games. And yes, even though it was embarrassing and you wanted to crawl underneath the bench of the dugout, when Grandpa held his glasses out to the umpire and said, "Here, try these," so that the entire gathering of adults start just chuckling, I was blessed. When something in the house would break and my other grandfather would come and not only repair it, but take Rob and I and either of my sisters, if they were willing, to go help fix it. And usually us helping was, "Here, hold the screwdriver. Here, hold the wrench. Pass me the wrench. Don't get in the way." We were still blessed because in that moment, we had family caring for us. But our blessings didn't end there. Now, in my family, there's not a single person who eats lasagna. And it's not because some of us don't love lasagna. It's because when Central Reformed, my home church, sought to bring us up and lift us up and bless us, they brought lasagna. And so for the next several months, when life was so stressful that we couldn't, even us kids couldn't bear to cook, we could put a lasagna in the oven. And so we had lasagna at least twice a week for 7 months. And yet I still like it. Can't eat it, but like it. To this day, I look at a plate of lasagna and I think of how blessed we were. Yes, at the same moment, I chuckle and laugh about how we had pretty much lasagna coming out of our ears, but I think about how a congregation came and supported us through this. But that's not where the blessings ended, because even my immediate family, though we were going through the same just trash of life and losing our father together, we could still bless one another. Like when a well-meaning member of the church who always had the wrong thing to say to young kids would come over and try and engage one of us in conversation. The others would gather around and announce, "We've got to go. No, no, Mom's waiting in the car. Aunt Helen's waiting for us." We would unite together to help and support each other. Even that well-meaning and yet inappropriately worded person was a blessing. The reality is that we are blessed, especially in those moments when we are most afflicted. We are blessed. Through God working in and through our lives, we are blessed. But we are not just blessed for the purpose of being blessed. God doesn't stop there. God blesses us and calls us to be a blessing to others. When we first read God's call to Abraham, we read God's blessing does not end with our receipt of being blessed. "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land where I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing." Blessed so that you will be a blessing. God has called us and blessed us for the greater purpose that we be a blessing to others. God gives us opportunities in our lives to bless others in so many ways. Through prayer, through helping, through even just listening, we are able to be a blessing. When we are blessed, when we are poor in spirit, it is also so that we can bless others when they are poor in spirit. When we are blessed, when we mourn, it is so that when we see others mourning, we may be a blessing to them. It goes on and on and on. But the difficulty is that we don't always do so well. We don't always bless others as well as we could, or even as well as we should. Again, I track back to that moment where my family united to protect one another. Even then, I can appreciate the woman who would approach us after worship, who would have the most horrible things to say in those moments. And yet, years later, I can see the blessing she was trying to be. But even if we cannot be the blessing we intend and fail miserably to be a blessing, it doesn't mean we should stop trying. It doesn't mean, "Well, I wasn't a blessing that time and I really dropped the ball. Well, let's never try again." No. It's called try and try and try. Keep trying. Keep trying to help one another, to unite together and serve God as a blessing to one another. To the people you know who are grieving and in pain, be a blessing. To those who are being harmed, who are meek, who are whoever they are, be that blessing or see your blessings. Because remember, Early Reformed Church, blessed are we. Blessed are we through our struggles and our successes, through our joys and our trials. We are blessed. We have been blessed each day by everyone we know. We need to see our blessings, not just from God, but from one another. We need to be a blessing to one another. Brothers and sisters, let us embrace this higher purpose, this higher blessing, and encourage one another, be there for one another, and be the people God has called us to be. Amen.